Hey there, this is Sarah Bone, and I'm so happy you're joining me on the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our hope that these words help you know who Jesus is and what he's done for all of us. Thanks for listening. Now let's dive in.
Like Kanda said, my name is Taylor, and I'm super excited to be here with you guys. Always love the opportunities just to dive into God's word with my church family, so this is definitely a blessing. I'm super excited. And one of the fun things about doing like standalone sermons and stuff like this is you get to ask yourself, what has really God been teaching you? What has God been working on in my own life? And kind of get to communicate that. And so one thing that I think for the last few years, the Lord has just kind of pressed on my heart is just the idea of what does it look like to be faithful? What does faithfulness look like? Because we can see throughout the scriptures that, we don't define success the same way the world might define success. We define success in the Christian life as faithfulness. And so we're going to dive into a text this morning that I think really brings that idea of faithfulness and gives it a little bit more explicit instruction as far as what faithfulness looks like. So if you have your Bibles, whether in book form or app form, go ahead and get those out and meet me in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, a little book all the way towards the end of the Bible, behind, yes, 1 Timothy and right before Titus is where you would find this. And we're going to hang out in 2 Timothy 2 this morning. And another thing that happens when you're doing these standalone sermons and you're just kind of flying right into a text is it requires a little bit of work to understand what's going on around it and understanding some of the context surrounding this text. So I'll give you just a little bit of that information so that we can rightly understand the word of God. So 2 Timothy was written by a guy by the name of Paul the Apostle, and he wrote this while he is sitting in a Roman prison. He's sitting in a Roman prison awaiting his trial, and if you read the whole letter, you get the feeling that he understands it too. But while he awaits his trial, he's also awaiting his own death. He knows his time is coming. If you were to read the whole letter, just the vibe that he gives, he feels like it's near. And so he writes this letter sitting in that prison, knowing his trial, his death is coming, and he writes it to Timothy, one of Paul's closest companions. He refers to him as the son, his son in the faith. And while Paul obviously is going through a lot of difficulty at this moment, so is Timothy. Timothy is enduring a lot of intense persecution. He's seeing some decline in sound teaching. They're both experiencing desertion where people who have been close to them are now leaving them. Paul goes so far as to name names later on in this letter of people that have deserted them. So obviously a lot of difficult times, but Paul spends chapter 1 explaining and exhorting and encouraging Timothy to endure, to not be ashamed of the gospel. He says it in verse 8 of chapter 1. He says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." He is encouraging Timothy to, yes, this is difficult, but keep going, Timothy. Do not be ashamed, but continue on. And that kind of leads us into the section that we are going to focus on today. So I'm going to read chapter 2, verse 1 through 8, which is where we're going to focus today, and then we'll dive in a little bit deeper to the word. So chapter 2, verse 1 of 2 Timothy. I have the ESV in front of me in case there's any Bible translation people out there. So, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel." So Paul coming out of chapter 1, where he is encouraging and exhorting Timothy, he gives him, ultimately, he gives him five verbs or five pieces of instruction in how to do this and how to walk faithfully and how to endure. And the first verb that he gives him is strengthened. All right, he gives him strengthened. He tells him, you then, my child, be strengthened. So because of the persecution, the difficulty surrounding him, he says, be made stronger, be strengthened. And I thought it was interesting that he used strengthened. What he didn't tell Timothy was to be strong. He said, be strengthened, which to me implies that strengthened is a little passive. And when I say passive, I mean it relies on something else outside of you. To be strengthened, you have to rely on something outside of you. It doesn't come from just simply within. You don't just go look in the mirror and say, be strong, and you're made stronger, right? Like, it's January 5th. Some people in here might still be working out. When you go to get physically stronger, you need something else, like a routine or weights or something to give you resistance to make you stronger. So you have to rely and look to something outside of yourself. And that's what Paul is pointing Timothy to. He says, Timothy, you need to be made stronger. Something else outside of you needs to help you and push you on. And luckily for Timothy, Paul doesn't leave it a secret. He points him straight to the source. He tells him, this is what's going to make you stronger. He says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He points Timothy to Jesus. He says this unmerited and undeserved favor that can be found in Christ, that is your source of strength. That is what is going to empower you and strengthen you as you go. See, Jesus' arrival that we celebrated just a couple weeks ago, his perfect life and ultimately his sinner's death and resurrection, this gains us and obtains grace that gives strength, the strength that is needed to endure and walk faithfully. And a lot of times we look at this grace, we look at this gospel, and we think this is just the starting point. This is just the conversion equation that we go to. This is where I get converted. But Paul makes it clear that it's much, much deeper than that. The grace found in Jesus is a source of power. It's a continual source of strength and power for Timothy in his walk with Christ, and it is that for us as well. It's that same it functions the same for us as well. We do not make ourselves strong. We do not make ourselves able. It is Christ when we lean in to him, when we look to what he has done and what he is doing. That strengthens us. That makes us able. And I love a quote that I read in prep for this. It says, the eminent saint is not the one who has learned to walk alone, but he who feels his need of leaning harder upon the everlasting arms. In other words, the strong saint, the strong believer, isn't the one who tries at it alone and goes by themselves, but the one who knows and feels and admits his need and leans in to Christ. We have to look to and be strengthened by something outside of ourselves. And while Paul will go on to give more instructions, he's going to go to give more verbs to tell Timothy how to do this. He starts with this one because everything else flows out of it. Everything else flows out of the power and strength in Jesus. In order to endure, we need to start with the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And as Paul moves on, he really gets into, I think he explains kind of his theme in the letter as he moves on to the next verb, the next verb being entrust. Verse 2, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. He says, Timothy, entrust. Paul tells Timothy to entrust or pass down what he had heard. The things that you had heard from me, Timothy, pass it down. Pass it down to people who will continue to pass it down. Now, the things that Timothy had been hearing, that's Paul's teaching, his preaching, the gospel, the accurate record of what Jesus had done. So like during this time, the scriptures was just the Old Testament. So now when Timothy is hearing from Paul is the accurate record of what Jesus did and who he was. So then in principle for us, it becomes the scriptures. For Timothy, it's what he heard. For us, it's what we get to read in the scriptures, the accurate record of what Jesus had done. And he's telling Timothy to pass down this truth. Pass down the truth to faithful men who will teach others also. And trust it, pass it down to people who will pass it down, to people who will then pass it down, and then they will pass it down, and you see the train continue on. He tells and is exhorting Timothy to be committed. Remain committed to the truth. Don't let the truth stop with you. Don't let the truth stop with you. In the midst of all these, the false teachings, the adversity, the persecution, the pushback, don't let the truth stop with you. Continue on. Continue on. And yes, it sounds like the role of a teacher in Timothy was, yes, a minister. He was in a teaching role, and you might be sitting in your seats going, well, that's not me. I'm not in that role. But aren't we all ambassadors for the Lord? Are we not all called in the Great Commission to go and make disciples? And one of the awesome things about that is when he says go, it's implied as if you're always going. The question isn't necessarily are you going? The question is, are you making disciples, right? We're all called to do that in our areas of influence, to show and share the love of Jesus as we go to our jobs, where we, you know, where our hobbies would be located, maybe even in your living room with your family. Are we entrusting and passing it down? And in order to pass it down, yes, we must also know it. If we're going to share something, we must know it. We have to spend time in it. We have to understand it in order to entrust and pass it down in those areas. We must be committed to it in a way that not only knows it, but shares it, no matter the circumstances, no matter the results, no matter the outcomes. And I think that's what Paul gets at in his next piece of instruction. The next verb would be share in the suffering or suffer. Verse 3, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now, in our translations, that's three words, share in suffering. But in the Greek, that's one simple word that says suffer. Paul just tells Timothy to suffer as a good soldier. Now, I don't think Paul is telling Timothy to go pick a fight with somebody. I don't think Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, go cause issues and strife so that you then suffer. But what I think he's getting at is his willingness to walk through it. He wants Timothy to be so committed to the truth, so committed to what he heard, the message and truth of the scriptures, that he is willing to take on whatever comes his way. It might be a time of ease and praise, or it might be a time of adversity and pushback. Whether suffering, whether praise, remain committed, Timothy. Whether it's an easy time or a difficult time, remain committed. Keep on going. And I think this really brings out the theme of this letter, these two statements here, that idea of being so committed to the truth that you're willing to walk through whatever is in your way, whatever circumstances come, that can be simplified to just faithfulness. Be faithful. Remain faithful, empowered and strengthened by Christ. Be faithful. And is faithfulness not something that we should be striving for at all times? I mean, it is said that what we would like to hear is, well done, my good and faithful servant. And it's tempting to want to be the most creative, the most relevant, the most followed. Yet, what we should desire is to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. He doesn't say relevant servant. He doesn't say creative, not wealthy, but faithful servant. We should be seeking to walk in faithfulness, being committed to our mission, to the truth, regardless of our outcomes, regardless of the results, regardless of the treatment that we might receive for it. And Paul follows these three commands, these three verbs now, with three illustrations. He steps into the world and observes the world and gives Timothy three illustrations of what faithfulness looks like. And the first one is a soldier. So read with me in verse 4. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. Paul is telling Timothy here that faithfulness and being faithful is focused. You must be focused and remain focused. The soldier does not get swayed and tangled up by the things to the side, to the right, or to the left, but they remain focused. They don't let these civilian pursuits get in their way. And Paul here is not telling Timothy again that the soldier doesn't engage in these other areas. Like the soldier just doesn't ignore the civilian pursuits, but he doesn't get tangled up in them. He doesn't get tangled up in them. And that's ultimately leading, he doesn't let these other duties, these other interests divert him or drain his energies from his primary responsibility. He looks at his primary responsibility and keeps that primary. He doesn't allow these other things to get in his way, but he keeps the main thing the main thing. Yes, he engages in them. He might be involved in them, but the main thing stays the main thing. He keeps his focus on pleasing the one who enlists him. And as Christian soldiers, it's so easy sometimes to get caught up in these offshoot pursuits, right? And these civilian pursuits, these things off to the side that so easily tangle us up. But we must keep focus. We cannot let those things take primary responsibility. We cannot let those things be the main thing. And again, it's not that we don't and we can't engage in things like politics or athletics or business, whatever interests that might be out there for you, but we have to leave them where they're at and keep the main thing, submitting to or following and pleasing Christ. That is our aim. Our aim is to please Christ. And ultimately what happens when that remains our aim, it then drives our engagement. It dictates how we interact and how we engage with civilian pursuits. When we keep that the main thing, it helps us continue faithfully as we interact with these civilian pursuits. But we must remain faithful. And as we are faithful, we are focused. And then the next illustration that Paul gives is an athlete. Is an athlete. Verse 5, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, this athlete being in the middle of a competition has to compete according to the rules that are given to him by whatever governing body is over that contest. So being faithful, in this sense, this picture that we get, being faithful is being obedient. is being obedient. The athlete does not get to make up the rules as they go. They don't get to make the decisions on what the rules look like. And having done my fair share of coaching in the past, there are times where you're like, man, I would love it if we just erased the three-point line tonight and just played by twos. Or maybe tonight, can we just make it 1 second in the lane instead of three so the other team's big guy can't just like be in the basket area for too long. There are times where you want to shift things around, but no, you have to submit, right? As I was coaching, you got to submit to the IHSAA. They gave us the rules. We had to do it their way. Whatever contest you're in, if you're running a race, you can't just decide to cut corners or, you know what, I signed up for the 400, but I'm only going to run 200 meters. It doesn't work like that. You have to submit and obey the rules. And as believers, faithfulness is submitting and obeying the Lord's way. We don't get to just do it our way. We don't get to dictate what we do. We have to follow the Lord. We don't get to choose some of God's way and then Joey from Full House cut the rest out. You know, we have to stick with what the Lord has said. We can't pick and choose. Being faithful is being holy, obedient to the Lord, not cutting corners. And that means even when it doesn't make sense, because yes, there are going to be times when it doesn't quite make sense, right? Or this, you know, today, some of you will watch football and there will probably be a rule that pops up and you're like, that's a rule? Why is that a rule? That doesn't make sense. But guess what? It's not our decision to make. right? And we can just simply in those moments, while it doesn't make sense, we simply lean into the Lord. And verses like Isaiah 55, where he says, as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. We lean into him knowing, you know what, Lord, you know much, much more than me. And you are holy and you are perfect and you are righteous and you are just. I'm going to listen and obey because I know my place and I know who you are. See, obedience is an aspect of faithfulness. Being faithful is submitting and obeying. The last illustration that Paul then moves on to is a farmer. Is a farmer, he says in verse 6, it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of crops. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. And there's so many parallels with farming in the Christian life. Like there's so many that you could pull from here. But I do think Paul is pointing to the fact initially that the farmer is reliant. The farmer is reliant. The farmer has to look outside of himself to a lot of things that they cannot control, right? The farmer can sow seeds, but ultimately he's also got to rely on the weather to cooperate, the climate, the precipitation. There are so many things outside of the farmer's control that they have to rely. They have to sit back a little bit and rely on something else. And that's a huge element in our faithfulness because we are not, as we walk faithfully, a lot of times we are not called to do the production. We're not called to produce. Even Paul mentions it in 2 Corinthians 3. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. We have to lean into the Lord and trust and rely on him to work. Yes, we do what we can, but we rely on the Lord to work. But also notice that Paul doesn't just leave it as a farmer, he actually gives an adjective to the farmer. He actually gives an adjective to the farmer. He calls him a hard-working farmer. A hard-working farmer, which means the farmer sows seeds and then puts his hand to the plow and works. They don't just toss some seeds out and then go hang out on the couch and binge watch their favorite show on Netflix for the 20th time. They work. They put their hand to the plow, they get their hands dirty, and they work consistently, not just for a day, not just for two, but they work consistently. And I think this is a thread that connects all three of these illustrations. I do think this is a thread that connects them all three. The hardworking farmer doesn't just sow seeds, but they plow, they water consistently over time. The athlete puts in the consistent work to train and be prepared, to be disciplined, to know the rules and abide by them. Even when, you know, it's really tempting to cut that corner, they have to abide by the rules consistently, not just for half the race, not just for 3/4 of the race, but the whole race. They have to do it consistently. And the soldier stays focused and locked in on their mission consistently, not just one day, not just 2 days, not just one battle, but consistently throughout the work. And I think that's what Paul is pointing Timothy and us to. He's saying, be consistently faithful. Be consistently faithful. Not just faithful for a day, not just faithful for 2 days, not just faithful when it's easy, but in all times and in all circumstances. Be faithful. That is consistent faithfulness. And Paul moves to the next verb in verse 7. He says, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And this is connected to these illustrations and that same kind of work that we talk about, the farmer working yet relying, where you put your hands to the work, but trust in what you can't control to bring about the production. That's what we see here. Put your mind to work and the Lord will give you understanding. But I also think Paul is pointing Timothy to just the regular mundane areas in life. He's saying consistent faithfulness is seen throughout life. You get illustrations of this, right? Like we all probably know a soldier somewhere. We probably all know a farmer and we probably all know an athlete. These are normal everyday things, Timothy, where you see the need for consistent faithfulness. And the Christian life is no different. And it's been interesting even walking through this text and thinking about my own life. And I challenge you just to see if you can observe some of these areas in your life. I mean, I see areas in my life where consistent faithfulness is needed. Like, I'm a dad of a toddler. We've been walking through the potty training thing, right? When you're doing the potty training thing, you don't just like get your kid to go in the correct area one time and then, hey, we did it. Let's toss the pull-ups away. We don't need them anymore. No, it's a consistent process that you need to continually walk through. You know, New Year's resolutions, maybe it's weight loss, diet, that kind of stuff. You don't just go order one salad at a restaurant and go, I did it. I'm done. I met my goal. In my world, you might see a student who lacks that consistent faithfulness in the beginning. The end of the semester seems so far away. I can slack off a little bit here, and all of a sudden, now they're at the end of the semester and they're in some difficulty. Or even more, a little bit more applicable to my world, the teacher who hates grading papers, and you don't really stay consistently faithful to plod through those papers that you have to grade. And then it's the end of the semester and you really, really hate grading papers, right? Like, consistent faithfulness is needed in all sorts of areas. And Paul is showing Timothy, like, yes, this is needed. It's not complicated, Timothy. It's not easy, but it's not all that crazy complicated. Just keep going. And the beautiful thing about this consistent faithfulness is that there is a reward at the end. There is a reward at the end. And we see this in the illustrations, right? So for the soldier, there is a victory at the end. When they put in this work over time, there is a victory at the end. For the athlete, there was a crown to be gained. There's a reward there. Putting in that work in that time, there's a crown. And for the farmer, there is a harvest. For the farmer, there is a harvest. There is a reward that comes at the end of consistent faithfulness. Now, that reward might not be the next day. It might not be the day after that. It may be way down the line. And honestly, a lot of times with this consistent faithfulness that the Lord calls us to, it can feel like we are just simply moving uphill. It can feel like we're moving uphill. It can look like to the world, it can look like failure. It can look like failure, but the Lord calls us to faithfulness, right? In the Christian life, success is faithfulness. I mean, I think of people in the scriptures like Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, where he gets called out, right? The Lord says, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? And Isaiah's like, well, I'm the only one here, so send me, I'll go. In the midst of his theophany, he says, here I am, send me. Only to be told, go and tell these people, but guess what, Isaiah? Only 1 out of 10 are gonna listen to you. You're not passing many classes with 10%, right? The world will look at that and say, that sounds like failure. I'm sure Isaiah during days and times felt like, man, am I even doing this right? What is going on? But no, the Lord called him to be faithful. He didn't call him to do anything other than be faithful. We can think about David, who after he was anointed, like he was anointed as king, and then he gets to run from Saul. Living in caves. There were probably days and times for David that, man, this is moving uphill. Other nations and other countries in the world are looking at it going, man, David's supposed to be the king. This looks like failure. But no, through the Lord's work and through the Lord's time, he brings it about. David stayed faithful. We can think about even people like William Carey, a missionary who served in India for quite a while. William Carey didn't see his first convert until 7 years. It took him 7 years of faithful service in India before anybody turned to him and confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior. 7 years. Probably people around the world, people in missions were probably looking at him going, are you sure, William? Like, do we need to put you in a different spot? Like, what do we need to do here? Because this isn't working. But no, he faithfully plodded along and saw the benefits of it much, much later. Can be even simply in parenting. You might feel this in parenting where you're doing devotions with your kids nightly, you're catechizing your kids, you're memorizing verses, trying to do those things, and you're just sitting there going, gosh, are they ever gonna get this? Is this ever going to sink in and get through to them? And the only thing we can do is say, be faithful and keep going and trust in the Lord. We can even look at Jesus. Jesus' very own ministry, where he lived 30 years as a carpenter, and then he gets his 3 years of ministry where he gets crowds, and then all of a sudden these crowds wanna stone him. A rich young ruler shows up and he turns him away, and in our minds, like, hey, this is pretty influential, Jesus. You could probably pull some people in if you get this rich young ruler. But no, he set his face to Jerusalem. He was focused on his mission. He was obedient to God the Father as he moved towards Jerusalem and ultimately to the cross. Ultimately to the cross. And so many people, the disciples, the world would look at that and go, that looks like failure. Jesus, who took on flesh, going to the cross and dying, that looks like failure. Yet, 3 days later, he rose from the dead, defeating death, defeating sin, mission accomplished. That was not failure, that was faithfulness, and faithfulness is success. And Jesus gives us such a wonderful picture of that, such a wonderful picture of what faithfulness looks like. And Paul then in his next and final verb to Timothy here in this section says, remember. He says, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David as preached in my gospel. His one last command was to remember Jesus Christ. Remember him risen from the dead, what he did, the offspring of David, who he was. He was the King of Kings, the Messiah, the second person of the Trinity. Remember who he was and remember what he did, lived perfectly and then died a sinner's death, right? He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. And rose, accomplishing his mission, defeating death, defeating sin. And what I love about this text so much is that Paul brings it full circle. He brings faithfulness full circle. He starts with Jesus and he ends with Jesus. He starts with the strength that comes from Jesus and he ends with the strength that is in Jesus. And it reminds me and it points me to the fact that we never move past looking to Jesus. We never outgrow our need to look and rely on Christ. We never outgrow our need for the power and strength that flows from him. Our consistent faithfulness should be powered by, all throughout, should be powered by Jesus's life, his death, and resurrection. And knowing that and seeing that and knowing that this thing, that through grace, through Jesus, what he has done, through purely through mercy and not through my merit, knowing that then through that, God loves us, he forgives us, he purifies us, he helps us, comforts us, enables us, and secures us all through mercy, not my own merit, gives us strength, gives us confidence to walk in faithfulness. We're not constantly looking over our shoulder thinking, well, did I do it right? Was it correct that way? Is he angry? No, because of the grace that is in Christ, we can walk confidently as we walk faithfully. And you might be sitting there thinking a few different things. Maybe you're somebody who is sitting there responding to this thinking, well, Taylor, I've done that. I am doing that. I'm being consistently faithful. I'm being strengthened by Christ. And if that's you, I just want to cheer you on and say, keep going. Whatever situation, whatever circumstances are surrounding you, keep going. Like the author of Hebrews says, run the race with endurance that is set before you, looking to Jesus. It might be a dry time where you're like, I don't know where God's working. I don't feel it. It might be a flourishing time where you see God moving and shaking. Whatever it is, keep going. Maybe you're somebody who hasn't even started this journey. You haven't even looked to the Lord. You're like, grace that is in Jesus, what? You haven't submitted to him as Lord. And if that's you, please grab somebody today and talk to them. Ask them about the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the power that is in the gospel. Or maybe you're somebody who looks at your life and you see inconsistency. You've been consistently inconsistent. You've had times and moments of faithfulness, but ultimately failed to do it consistently. And you might even feel like you're too far gone. You've had too many opportunities. But that's the beauty that is the grace of Christ. We can look down just a couple verses later where Paul says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. You see, though we may sometimes waver in our faithfulness, we may sometimes fail in our efforts to endure, God remains faithful. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is faithful and just to forgive. Turn back to him. In these moments of failure, turn back to him and be strengthened to walk in consistent faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, your power that enables us to walk consistently faithful. Help us, Lord, to seek faithfulness above all things. And it's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to see you in person next Sunday at either 9 or 10:45 a.m. at the Warsaw High School Performing Arts Center. For more information, visit us at missionpoint.net. Have a great week.